And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Afternoon. Welcome to Aggie Nation. It's Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, the Monday show. We are here despite the odds. I didn't just take off, Cease. I'm not.
I understand.
We do have the game up, so we will.
Like a lot of people have the game.
We will be trying to avoid FCC fines, depending on how these next three innings go. if you are just tuning in, it is currently 3-2 Astros, the top of the sixth inning.
Bottom of the sixth now. Go get an update.
Well, I'm like a minute behind. Don't spoiler alert me.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season at mscopus.org. It's the season that dreams are made of, and you can get all the information on tickets and all the great shows and events there at mscopus.org. You can call us 693-1150. You can text us 229-1939. What a weird day in college football already, Cease. For one, we've got this bizarre... It started off kind of weird already with this bizarre story. Well, even yesterday out of Southern Cal with Sarkisian taking a leave of absence. Apparently he needs to get attention for his alcohol problem, we're assuming. But We are assuming that. All these stories have come out. I was saying yesterday, and I know some of these stories are humorous, but... It's not a humorous situation, and people around the SC program need to keep their mouth shut, is my thing. If I was a big booster or donor over there, I'd be upset that all these little stories and stuff are getting out now. If it was a story and it was a problem, they should have already fired him and moved on or whatever. But now that he's already been, you know, getting a leave of absence and all this kind of stuff, all this is coming out. Then there's this weird thing this morning with Brett Bielema. I don't know if you saw that video go
guess
viral.
Guess I missed that one.
It's video of him apparently, and it's hard to see how this isn't what it looks like. But in the game against Alabama on Saturday, he appears to attempt to basically bait Alabama tackle Cam Robinson into pushing him, and gets a personal foul called on Robinson. So that was an odd story this morning. To me, it's indefensible, and unless there's another video angle that shows something different, I think Brett Bielema should be suspended for this. It's gonna get. All of that, though, wiped under the, you know, no one, because of the just bizarre Will Greer story out of Florida, and now he is going to miss the rest of the season. LSU is going to be the luckiest team on the planet this season. They get a home game they didn't expect, and then now Florida's going to lose their quarterback.
Les Miles is going to say, we planned all that time for Greer, and so now our time's all wasted, so it's a ploy. And I'm waiting to see, I look for some coach to get suspended that voted for Texas in the top 25. So I think there could still be something else happen to this. So
here's my favorite thing about that. My favorite thing about that is...
I'm assuming it was just one.
Well, yeah, that's my thinking, too. And here's why I think we see that stuff in the coaches poll. Because the coaches poll is anonymous.
Anonymous, yeah.
So some coach could go, you know what, this is going to get a lot. Like, first off, does it matter who's ranked 21st?
Right.
No. So
right.
Some coach could have gone, you know what, this will get headlines. I'm going to put Texas 21st and get them a couple
22nd,
of
because you go five.
That's right, 22nd. Yeah,
but here's the deal. Maybe some SID will get suspended. Because it turned out the coach didn't vote for it, so the SID gets fired. Because he put Texas.
Yeah, well, like I said, the whole thing is it's been
a wild Monday.
Yeah, well, in a wild, I don't know what my
wild weekend.
The biggest thing, obviously, the Florida quarterback being suspended for the rest of the season for PEDS.
Unbelievable.
Because how does that happen? I mean, it doesn't. This is a thing that should never happen in college football these days because. There's people whose job it is to tell you what you should be eating or taking or whatever.
Yeah, everybody's nutritionists. Here's the deal is, I didn't find about it. Of course, everybody knows I get up late. I didn't get up till 11:30. And my wife's a huge Gator fan, so my son comes in at lunch and goes, hey, how about the Gator quarterback? And my wife goes, what? And so I want to maybe you've done a little more research. When's the last time anybody has been suspended during the season for that?
We haven't been able to find. I was trying to Google it earlier and haven't found anybody. It's been a while.
I don't remember.
Someone got popped for peds mid-season. The thing I find hard to believe about this is that there is no way the Florida quarterback could be so dumb as to take a supplement without asking his staff first. I mean,
is this okay?
Yeah.
Or no, you're going to have someone else take the test for you.
That's the thing.
You know, it just didn't make sense to me as soon as I heard it.
He had to have known is my thinking. There's no way the Florida quarterback just walks in a GNC and picks up whatever's on the shelf and starts taking it without knowing that he should go to the medical staff. Everybody knows this. Everyone knows you run anything by the training staff.
Correct.
Especially these days where they can give you certain things. They could give you, I think on the exact NCAA descriptions, it says, quote, vitamins and minerals. So, I mean, that's a pretty loose term. I mean, most anything you're going to need diet-wise, you can get from the team. So it's even odd that this would happen just on that level, Cease, much less.
And then you think about, once again, knowing how much Florida goes ahead and pays, like being one of the powers, for their support personnel. I just have a rough time believing this happened to Florida with their quarterback. And so who's at fault there? Is it the trainer?
It's him.
I understand
I'm
him.
Not buying...
But you also have to – I mean, somebody's got to be overseeing these guys.
Not only is he at fault, he had to have known is my thing.
I would think, but I don't know. Redshirt freshman, 19, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he had to know. There's no way you could not do this. What was really wild? We got a lot to talk about on the show today. Why don't y'all text? What were y'all's favorite big, whatever y'all want to talk about, stories of the weekend? 229-1939. And yeah, we will get to A&M Alabama, but so much happened this weekend when A&M was sitting at home. I mean, I'm down at the coast watching games and stuff all weekend.
I saw a lot of games.
Like, all of college football goes crazy, and A&M was not even a part of it. A&M's kind of sitting back going like, okay, let's all go crazy. What was wild, other than Oklahoma, though, of all those crazy games, all the top 10 teams ended up winning except for Oklahoma. So it was kind of a wild weekend that was almost a lot wilder. But these stories the last couple of days, the Sarkisian thing just seems like it was coming. You know, if you could feel it.
I thought he'd last the season. I thought they'd go ahead and things would blow over, so to speak, get through the season, and then go ahead and make a change after that. But now, they still have some meaningful games to play. So what do you do looking forward if you're Southern Cal? Southern Cal went through this before when they hired Sarkisian. So what do you do now?
Well, that's the other thing, too. They had at some point, their AD has got to be responsible for this because he supposedly did his due diligence with hiring him. Well, now the story from the LA Times yesterday that came out, or maybe it was today, that they basically filed an open records request for all of Sarkisian's expenses while he was at Washington. And if they're able to track down $1,000 bar tabs and all these sort of things, then this is a problem that SC knew about when they hired him.
Sure.
And at some point, that goes on the AD.
See,
I mean, the AD's got to take a hit for this, too.
I always say everyone... You look at these situations where a coach gets hired and then it's not a good fit or they discover skeletons afterwards. I'm sorry, in today's, you know what you're getting.
Right.
You know what you're getting. And you also know if you want to take that gamble. Like, this guy's a womanizer or something along those lines. You're going to go ahead and take that chance, bring him to community, or he's got foul language wherever he goes. And, you know... And I don't know any examples, just stories I've heard. But once again, you go ahead and you make that decision. And if he's a winner and can win games, you know, I always hear, oh, he'll change when he gets here. We can change it. But you take that chance.
Yeah, and the thing is, the thing I hate, if you're going to take a chance on that guy, then you know you're taking a chance on that guy. You can't wait for it to go wrong and then start throwing people under the bus. That's the thing I don't like about the Sarkisian deal.
Now, if they do find bar bills when he was at Washington, to me, that opens up a whole can of worms, because I mean, Washington knew.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's one thing.
That's real ugly.
It's one thing if very, very few people knew or nobody knew. But like I said, the LA Times was able to, in about 48 hours, it seemed like, put together this huge story, and I'm sure it's something they've been working on. But this whole story about all these bar tabs he ran up on recruiting visits and in the different hotels around there, you know, when they had their sort of alumni dinners and all this kind of stuff. They were able to find all that stuff. So you know USC knew, you knew other people knew, and that's kind of why I said people at SC need to keep their mouth shut, because now all of this is coming out after the fact.
You look bad.
Like, now we...
You look bad.
Yeah, now you just look like you're trying to throw the guy completely under the bus when this is who you hired. You knew this was going on.
You're throwing him under the bus, but you asked him to get on the bus. You gave him a front seat and gave him everything he wanted, and now you want to throw him underneath the bus. That happens a few times, and you're right. I blame the people who hired him, because when you hire the guy or woman, you better know who you're hiring.
Someone said, what do y'all think of the Chip Kelly to SC rumors in light of the problems with Sarkisian? I'm not buying it.
Chip Kelly's going to be out there. We were talking about Chip Kelly at Texas last week, but that's when I thought Texas was going to go 2-12, not when they're going to compete for the national championship. So you're going to throw something out there new each week. It's college football.
I think Chip wants to be in the NFL. I think the only way he would come back to college is if he gets fired.
He'd have to fail miserably and get
no
fired.
One else wants to hire him. Because it seems like, from what everyone says and people I've talked to that covered Oregon and stuff, that he really likes being in the NFL. That's his goal. He wants to do all that stuff. And if he's going to, you know, do something different, he's going to have to get fired first. And I think that's still a ways off. Even though Philadelphia might not be making the Super Bowl this year, I think that's a little bit ways off. I don't know that USC would be the right fit there anyway. I think he'd be really good at that program, but my point is, he's a weird guy too, with a kind of some interesting backstory that no one really talks about. In fact, there was an article recently, I think in one of the Philadelphia papers, about how no one knows anything about Chip Kelly off the field. He's essentially, he had a wife that nobody knew about for a long time and all this kind of stuff.
He didn't know about him.
I don't know. It's possible. Anything, one thing we always know, anything is possible in college football.
I think he's
staying.
And I also go back, is if you're USC and you got to move forward to Sarkisian, would Kelly be a home run? I understand he knows the Pac-12 really well, had success, but if he's got to fail miserably at Philadelphia for you to get him. So do you want to hire somebody that has that kind of baggage? And I know it's the name you throw it out there, but I can't see that happening right now, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I just don't think he'll be leaving the Philadelphia Eagles this year. Is the bigger thing there for me. And a couple of y'all have texted about this, and this is a weird dynamic to the story. Is Pat Hayden's role on the college football playoff committee? And as someone on the text line mentioned, the time that he ran down there to separate Sarkisian from the officials. I mean,
the officials.
This sort of seems like Hayden has been trying to run interference for him for a while. So I don't know. Like I said, to me, if Sark goes down, Hayden might have to go down with him. That might be a two-man dinghy going down together. So,
well, Southern Cal might have to do some house cleaning, because, once again, when you have these clouds of controversy hanging over you in a program, today with the big boosters, and I'm just talking about the big corporate dollars, you can't afford to have it. You've got to be pretty squeaky clean, or you're gonna lose money with these stadiums and all these millions of dollars that the boosters given, and they're tied to all these corporate clients. You can't have it. You can't have it.
All right, we got to catch the first break. Some of y'all are asking, the Astros currently have, well, they're done with the bottom of the sixth, headed to the top of the seventh.
Moving.
So we will go to break. When we come back, we didn't forget. We watched it on Saturday. We'll talk Texas-Oklahoma when we return. Hit us up, 229-1939, with all your questions, your comments, your hot takes. We'll be back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25. 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth, get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Normandy Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normandytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
October is here, but Halloween isn't till the 31st. But Rattlers has goodies for you every day, like Goodness Nose Bars, 2 for only $3. Grab any size coffee or cappuccino to go with that for only 79 cents. Rattlers has in-store specials all the time, from hot dogs and chips to soft drinks. Make sure to stop by Rattlers on your way home from work and pick up any 12-pack from the fine families of beer, from Bud, Miller, and Coors, for only $10.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
Learning the skills of skating can bring you a lifetime of fun and exercise. At Spirit Ice Arena, you can learn step-by-step instruction in a pleasant, supervised rink that makes learning to skate safe and easy. Did you know that Spirit Ice Arena is home of the Fightin' Texas Aggie hockey team? If you've never been to a live hockey game before, then this is your chance. Tickets are just $10 for adults, $7.50 for students, or two students for $10. To see an Aggie hockey schedule, visit spiriticearena.com or call 693-3900. Spirit Ice Arena, keeping you cool all year long.
If you watch TV, listen to the radio, go to the movies, or simply hear people talking, you hear about prescription drugs and their effects. Sometimes these are portrayed as safe or as something that is meant for a good time. Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. Prescription drugs are prescribed by a doctor with one person in mind and one reason in mind. That reason is to treat someone for an illness or injury. If you abuse your or someone else's medicine, this could be a prescription for disaster. For more information, call 979-846-3560.
If you're a high school senior with perfect attendance this year, you could win a new Scion from Atkinson Toyota Scion.
Sign up at AtkinsonItPaysToStay.com.
Talk about your favorite local teams with your favorite local hosts. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays on Zone FM 102.7.
All right.
And Sports Radio 1150.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Hanging out, talking the weekend that was in college football a little bit. 229-1939. If you want to join in the conversation, shoot us a text. What do you want to talk about? What was your big take from the weekend? What's your big take from this weekend? Stephen McGee is going to join us later. Don't worry. Normal Monday segment. We'll get him on here. Even though A&M didn't play, so we can't really look back at a game. We can look forward to the next one, and we're going to ask him a lot about what it's like being a quarterback in a game week this big. It is a little bit interesting. I don't know that he played in a game quite this big, see? So it's interesting to get his thoughts on it. But Kyle Allen is going through something a little bit different. Steven played on some decent and good A&M teams, but not a game quite like this, I don't think.
I understand, but still when you play Texas in games.
Well, there's still definitely some relevant information, but I just think it's interesting that as good of a quarterback as he was, and he never played in a game quite like this one, because this is going to be something different. He's on Saturday at Kyle Field.
Without a doubt.
Let's see. Someone else. Someone was talking about the Oklahoma game. I can't find it.
You'll find it.
We'll have to get that one down a little bit. But this was the big story of the weekend on the field, obviously. Texas-Oklahoma. Texas is a program that looked all but gone a couple weeks ago. I mean, they looked like, Charlie's getting fired. Who's coming in? They can't defend anybody. Absolutely worthless. And by a couple weeks ago, I meant like last Monday. And then they come in this week and just shut down Oklahoma. And to me, did Texas play well? Did Oklahoma play poorly? Texas did play well. They didn't turn the ball over. They didn't have any big critical mistakes in special teams and all those kind of things. But to me, this was more about Oklahoma playing really, really poorly, especially on offense. I mean, Baker Mayfield, who everyone's been getting ready to talk about as a potential Heisman candidate, looked horrible for most of the game, although he heated up a little bit in the second half. But save Charlie Strong's job. It's that easy. I mean, now he's not even close to the hot seat anymore. Beat Oklahoma. And as many things as we get wrong on this show, we did I said this before the season, caught all kinds of crap on the text line, see, so I had to bring
Oklahoma
it up.
Oklahoma wasn't that good.
Well, no, I was an Oklahoma fan.
Okay, I said.
But before the year, and I still think they're pretty good. I think that was just a bad game Saturday. I still think they end up all right. I don't think they're national championship material, but I think they end up in the top 15 or so by the time the season's over. But I said on the show, and everyone said I was crazy with when Kroom was here, I said Texas would win one of the big ones. They would beat either Notre Dame, Oklahoma, TCU, or Baylor. And I didn't know how, and not that they're actually good, but they were going to find a way. And they found a way Saturday. They did it. I mean, you could talk about Oklahoma and all this stuff, but they won the game, Cease.
They won the game. They played well, and it's one of those deals, depending on which side of the fence you're in. I said last week I thought Texas would go 2-10 on this show or 3-9. They were that bad. I didn't see them going to Iowa State and win. And then just to come out, and it always gets back to the basics. How well they were able to run the ball just kind of blew my mind when you stop and consider the people on scholarship quote that Oklahoma has on defense. Just jam the line. Go ahead and take the run away. Make Hurd pass. But it also looked to me like Oklahoma just wasn't ready to play that game. And I want to give Texas all the credit because after they got stomped a couple times, I expected them to lose that game like 50-18 or 20.
Yeah.
And then Oklahoma, bigger picture, big game Bob Stoops is not big game Bob Stoops anymore. I mean, you make the changes. You bring in a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback to transfers. Oklahoma's got problems. I really believe that. And I said that even before the season started because – everybody thought you win a couple games, you beat West Virginia, all you're back, you could be in the Final Four. They fell like a rock. And like you said, they might be a top 15. I don't know. I'm thinking more 20 to 25. And there's a lot of teams in that. But getting back to Texas, and then like a coach voted them, it's like we go overboard on one game. It was one game where they showed up ready to play. These kids were Texan, jacking around. We know he signed a great class. They came out and played. Malik Jefferson looked like the guy that everybody knows he is. And Hurd played well, and we seen him play well, and he was a Denton Geyer. They showed up one day and played. Now, can they do that week after week? Then, you know, Charlie Strong doing that deal where they, you know, it's like.
Oh, they're giving him the Gatorade bath.
They're 2-4.
Yeah.
They're 2-4.
Lifting him up on the
field.
They
won one game, and I understand. And they might look back on it like Aggie fans always remember the time that Jackie Sherrill beat TCU, followed that up with Texas. You have a turning point. We can't say it is a turning point. It could be the turning point. We'll see how it plays out. But I always have to laugh, Aubrey, as I was watching that game a little bit. This is the one thing that no matter what happens in the SEC, that A&M will miss. They no longer have a rivalry game. When you have the rivalry game in the tradition, suddenly, you know, Texas now has beaten Oklahoma three of the last 4 years with a double digit. They came in ready to play. Oklahoma came in not ready to play. Why is that? You just can't explain rivalries sometimes, but that's going to be a tough, tough year for Oklahoma to deal with that.
You mentioned the big game Bob thing, and to me that was the problem. Is I think Oklahoma bought into too much of the Texas is dead hype. I mean, the simple truth is Texas is not a very good football team, at least hasn't been so far this season. But you still have to show up and beat them. Cal had to show up and beat them. Oklahoma State had to show up and beat them. You have to show up and win the game. And that's what Oklahoma didn't do. They also thought they were going to go out on that field and just win 50-7. And you see this a little bit. I didn't think they would actually happen enough that they would lose, but you see sometimes when a team thinks that they're going to win by so much against a hated rival, they come out trying to beat them by 100 instead of trying to win the first play. And I think this was the problem for Oklahoma, is by the time they got it figured out, the game was almost over. I mean, they were so far behind that they couldn't really get it going. This game said more about Oklahoma just not being ready to prepare, not being ready to play. And that's on the Oklahoma staff. How can you not be ready for a game against Texas? Because you know that Texas is going to come out firing. And they, like I said, they just simply weren't ready to play. I mean, if Oklahoma... And frankly, if that game goes another quarter, I don't know if they would have won the game. But they just didn't quite have it together. And like I said, I don't know. Oklahoma, if you're an A&M fan, we talked about it last week, or who are you for? And everyone was for Oklahoma, hoping Texas would get killed. But now that Texas has won, it's not all that bad for A&M, because now you've got you've got another Big 12 team out of the way. Oklahoma now you can be for Oklahoma to go beat TCU and to go beat Baylor because they're not getting into the playoff with a loss to Texas.
Well, and here's also the deal. I was listening to a post-game I like Barry Trimmel and him and another guy was doing the post-game. And this is what this is a problem with college football even 5 or 6 games into the season. And what happens is, unless you're in a kick-butt conference, which is SEC can be, but I don't think it is this year. I think SEC's down a little bit. So what happens is, in a 12-game schedule, you probably have four very tough games that you're going to have. Four tough games. And like they were saying, they said, we based a lot of our perception on Oklahoma of what they did against Tennessee and West Virginia. He said, yeah, particularly West Virginia. And he said, they couldn't run the football. And so he said, we assumed that Oklahoma had a good run defense. And then they also point out a good point is, let's say you have those three games, those three matchups. He said, but one of those might be a horrible matchup for you. So then you get in a game where the other team has a great matchup. And he said, and they were saying maybe Oklahoma is not as good as we thought. And that was their bottom line because they said they won Tennessee and come back. He said they dominated West Virginia. And he goes, now maybe we need to look. West Virginia might not be that good. Tennessee might just be an average team. So, and I think it goes back to is it's still too early to tell me if Oklahoma is a top 15 team, mm-hmm, a top 10 team, or a top 25 team. And we're going to know a lot more about Alabama and A&M this week because you need more data because just one or two games is not going to do it anymore because you play these cream puffs that you can blow out.
Well, in Oklahoma is the – and I still think they're going to be okay. The other team thing that is hard for a team like that is when you've got a new offensive coordinator and things like that, you're not sure what you're looking at sometimes. For Alabama, for example, it's easy to see when things go off the rails because they've essentially run the same system. Now they get new coordinators all the time because people hire them away, but this is Nick Saban's system. And so when things aren't working for them, you can tell what the problem is usually because you're so used to seeing it when it does work. Oklahoma's got a first-year offensive coordinator and hadn't been challenged really yet, certainly on offense. Their offense, even in that, except by Tennessee. So it's hard sometimes to know really what the problem is when you've got new coordinators, and that's Oklahoma's deal right now.
And I agree with you because I read his quotes, and he said, would I like to make this call over again? He goes, you bet. But you see, that's the first time, you're right, he was in those situations. And so I think there's a lot to be said for that. But Bob Stoops had to change something up when he brought in Lincoln Riley. And so now it'll be interesting to see moving forward because Oklahoma does need to win one of those big games to get back.
Yeah, now they have to win one of them. Someone texted they're panicking a little because we don't have an embarrassing Longhorn game being played before the Aggies this week. That's been a good omen this season. Should we panic or am I overreacting? I think you should definitely panic. I think it's done. I think it's done for that guy. No, that's some good stuff there. Someone else said Texas can only dream about going 8-5 like we did last year. They'll probably lose out. They still play Kansas.
They play Kansas. And once again, the way they ran the ball, the way they blocked, sometimes it gets back to basics. If they show up enough times like that, they might win a couple more games. But I'm still not buying it. I'm laughing.
Yeah, because this is Texas playing above their head.
They got blown out and two of those four games.
Well, and you can circle the wagons when you've got the media calling out your head coach and all this kind of stuff. When you've got all of that, you can sort of, you know, us against the world. You can't us against the world every week. And I think this was one of those weeks that does work. And we'll see how far they can carry that over. We just had a challenge in the Astros game that was overturned. They overturned the call in the field, which was a safe runner at third. Top of the seventh is over. The bottom stretch time in Houston ceased.
And we're not falling at all. But then I looked and I go, the Royals tried to steal third with the tying run with two outs. When you could score from second on a single, an error, take the lead on a home run, and you risk getting thrown out of third.
I don't know what they're doing.
Can you say, Was Stoops coaching third?
Yeah, Stoops is a third base coach. I don't know what was going on there.
Astros will take it.
Well, what happened was one of those new challenges we've seen this year. Well, we've seen this a little bit this year. When a guy gets through the bag and he's safe, but then comes off the bag. That used to not be, like, no one was even paying attention to that back in the day. But now that you can review it, we've seen that several times this year. As he's stepping off the bag, stepping up, he's kind of standing up after he slid in. His foot came off for a second. The Astros noticed it on the replay. They probably only noticed it because Valbuena was injured.
Because of the replay.
Yeah. And because Valbuena was hurt, they had time to watch the replay and got the call overturned. So 3-2 Astros going to the bottom of the seventh seas.
And I was watching one of those NFL games. They said the same thing. It's amazing. You stop in slow motion. You can
see all kinds of things.
But just a millimeter. But, yeah. I mean, hey, you're out, you're out. You're safe, you're safe. If you fumble, you're fumbled.
Yeah, they found it. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, let's talk SEC. Teams we saw this weekend, things going on. What are the big storylines? Hit us up, 229-1939. We will get to all your questions, your comments, and, of course, your Alabama stuff y'all are talking about, too. Kind of a big game going on this week. We'll talk about that one as well. Cease. Come back. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Drunk driving arrests last weekend included a College Station woman with three prior DWI convictions. 61-year-old Deborah Amos is out of jail on bond following a crash on Saturday in East Bryan at Highway 30 in Winding Creek. Witnesses told a DPS trooper her vehicle was on Winding Creek and had stopped at the dead end, but she drove straight across the highway up the dirt embankment through a barbed wire fence and hit a telephone pole. A Bryan man whose driving record includes 12 active suspensions, the latest being last month, was caught by a Brazos County Sheriff's deputy Saturday afternoon driving a pickup with an expired tag. At last check, 54-year-old Joaquin Castillo Castro remains in jail in lieu of a $2,000 bond. Residents in the Raintree subdivision may have seen someone jump out of a moving pickup Saturday night. That's after a College Station officer followed the truck off the freeway after almost getting hit. The driver of the truck was caught following a foot chase, and 21-year-old Sean Nodder of Bryan was arrested for evading arrest and possessing a handgun with a felony conviction. Those who own food trucks and want to operate in the Northgate District until 3 in the morning are going to have to join a group. The College Station City Council turned down requests for solo operators after hearing from the police department's commander of the Northgate District, Lieutenant Chris Perkins.
I have no objections to a food court, which would be much easier for us, but the individuals being spread out is almost impossible with our resources.
Perkins says 8 officers are spread throughout Northgate dealing with issues when the bars close. The council approved regulations for mobile food courts throughout the city. The permit process includes going through the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as the council. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
Attention parents with special needs children. Power Sports is now offering a special needs competitive cheerleading team, and it's completely free. Power Sports' new special needs program is a great way to get your child involved in activities which will help them improve on motor skills, communication, team building exercises, and more. For more information on the Power Sports special needs program, call Power Sports at 979-776-0018 or check them out on the web at powersportskids.com.
Play to win your share of $1 million every week this football season at DraftKings.com. With 1 week fantasy at DraftKings, you can play when you want with a team you want. Just pick your contest, pick your team, and pick up your winnings. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use code Louie and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy contest. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Enter Louie for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
If you're a high school senior, join your classmates and commit to attending all of your classes this year.
At the end of the school year, Atkinson Toyota Scion is giving away a new Scion, or you could win one of many scholarships.
Details online and on Facebook.
Meet our mascot of the week and hear how you can help Long Way Home Adoptables. Listen in each Wednesday at 12:50 to the Louie Belina Show, powered by teamofnavasota.com.
Welcome back.
I know you got soul.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Still trying to figure out what in the world happened there. The Royals are thinking. John in Cypress texted, how could y'all miss that opportunity? Now we know Andy Sawyers went to the Royals after leaving A&M.
Wow. Nice text, though.
He did.
That'd be funny.
He did go to K-State, right?
Yes, he did.
Which
yeah.
is right up the road
yeah. oh,
from
yeah.
Kansas
oh,
City.
Yeah.
So maybe some influence from the Saw Dog over there.
Texter's pretty smart.
Why,
I like that.
Why is he go? I'm with you there. You can't send the guy to third no matter how fast he is.
Boy, he did it on his own. Stupid.
So, cold-blooded challenge by the Astros, but it worked out because you clearly came off the bag there for a split second. I will say that's one thing I'd like to kind of, I mean, either people have to teach guys to stay on the bag or they have to change that replay rule. That's happened way too often this season. All right, elsewhere in the SEC, we've already talked a little bit about Florida quarterback Will Grier suspended for the rest of the season. And if its letter of the law is upheld for the first part of next season, you lose a whole year for a PED suspension in college football. So he could be gone. The game that everyone was watching, we talked about this last week, what game matters most for A&M fans, was Alabama-Arkansas. And I want to know, Cease, if you're an A&M fan, I want you all to tell me too, 229-1939, what did watching that game do for you? Are you more excited? Are you less excited? What did you see out of Bama? What did you see out of Arkansas for this week's game? If you're an A&M fan, I want you to Cease, watch that game through the lens of an A&M fan. Are you feeling better about your chances this weekend, or how are you feeling going into this one?
I haven't blogged about it. It's tough to do that because I saw both sides. One, Arkansas couldn't run the ball at all against Alabama. Alabama just took Collins away and those big linemen. They just engulfed them. They made Arkansas one-dimensional. And that being said is A&M fans can say, oh, gee, well, we can throw the ball well. A&M fans say, well, throw the ball well with Allen and company, much better than Brandon Allen did. But anytime you can make a team one-dimensional, then I think the advantage has to be for you. That being said, A&M runs a spread. Maybe they'll be able to run the football. And I went back and looked. Two of the last three games, they run the ball well. When they beat them down there, and when they lost up here 49-42, A&M ran the ball well both times over like 165 yards. But of course, they didn't do anything well last year in that game. But that being said, I was kind of surprised that Arkansas averaged 1.8 yards per carry in Alabama. That was such an ugly game to watch, but that's the way Alabama plays. I think Alabama just muddies the game up, and they'll try to do that against A&M. I think what we said last week goes back. Arkansas, Alabama was playing. That's the number one advantage that A&M had. They played a physical game, but yet they were able to keep the ball for almost 34 minutes. But they played while A&M rested. I think that's the number one thing.
To me, I don't even know if I get much out of that game watching Alabama's offense. Arkansas's offense against Alabama's defense, because the differences in A&M's offense and Arkansas's offense, there could not be two offenses more
sure.
different. Maybe Baylor's is even slightly more vertical than A&M's, but they're on different ends of the spectrum. And, yeah, they made them one-dimensional. And I do think Bama will make A&M one-dimensional. A&M's not going to be able to run the ball on Alabama.
I think so, because the lines, yeah.
But A&M's one dimension is a whole lot better. Yeah, and also matches up with what Alabama's defense does a lot better than Arkansas's one dimension, at least as far as what they're good at. They were able to make Arkansas one-dimensional at the thing Arkansas doesn't want to have to do. A&M might be one-dimensional, but it's going to be at the thing they feel just fine doing, and that's throwing the football. And so I wonder if you get much out of there. But the thing that I found interesting is that Alabama's offense looked horrible for a lot of this game.
Most of the game.
And they... I don't know if A&M can even limit that run game at all. I don't know that Coker or Bateman or whoever we end up seeing out there this weekend can pass the ball enough. And I know that scoring early is always important for A&M, but it's especially important in this game, Cease, because if they could get Alabama to have to throw the ball, then this game looks, it all of a sudden becomes a major advantage for A&M.
Well, and that's why I don't like to do that, because last year we said the same thing after Alabama went up, struggled on offense, Arkansas should have won the game, missed the extra point, it was 14-13, and it looked like A&M had a huge advantage because they were going to throw the football, and Alabama wasn't going to be able to do anything, and suddenly they go down to Alabama, and of course A&M laid the egg, but even that quarterback threw a couple great passes. Now he had Amari Cooper, which always helps, but even the other guy that they have is pretty good on the outside, and I'm not saying that Alabama's going to have a lot of success throwing the football, but last year at this time I remember saying that Alabama's offense looked very bad against Arkansas,
yeah.
And then they played pretty well against A&M.
Yeah, and A&M's defense, I think we knew was going to be not great going into that. I think the big difference is that A&M does have, they have some things that they are great at, and getting to the quarterback is one of them.
They're better. They're better defense, get a quarterback, but I do worry about their linebackers against the running game against Alabama.
That and the what they do at corner and safety in this game. Because see, when Alabama does throw the ball, what exactly does A&M, how do they
feel? How do they guard it? How do they defend it?
They haven't played an offense as multiple, I would say, as Alabama's. And Alabama hasn't played a passing game as multiple as A&M's. And I know Ole Miss can throw the ball a little bit, but A&M has got options in the passing game a little bit that I think helped him out.
So go back to what you said at the start. We'll get nothing out of that. Watch that Alabama-Arkansas game pretty much.
Well, the thing that I did get out of it a little bit, though, like I said, is just how much they struggled at quarterback. I mean, they had a hard time throwing the football even when guys were open. So
Coker looked really bad. I thought he looked good at the only other game I watched in Atlantis, I thought he looked good half the time against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But he didn't look good at all Saturday night. I thought they won the game despite him instead of the game with him.
Yeah, a couple of texts. Someone said weakest Bama offense against our best defense the past 3 years, which is probably true.
Which is true.
Someone said feel good about that. Someone said I like our chances much more. We're much more balanced, and Bama took some body shots. That was a physical game going back and forth.
I said number one, A&M didn't play. That's the best thing that happened to them.
John in Cypress is making fun of some of your word choices.
Good.
So I'm going to give him a shout out on that. He said instead of saying engulf, you said engulf, which I kind of like.
Well, it was my engulf, but you see.
Someone said, I worry that Bama would put enough heat on Allen, get in his head, and Kyle is easy rattled at times. If Bama limits the passing game, Aggies may have a problem. I don't know that I've seen Allen get too rattled. He does get a little gun shy, would be the thing that I'd be a little more afraid of. He does sometimes, he hesitates to throw the ball a little bit after he's taken a couple shots, but because he starts looking at defensive ends and he bails in the pocket a little bit early. But he doesn't have the thing where some quarterbacks get a quick trigger. He goes the other way. Some quarterbacks get a quick trigger, then they start trying to force the ball out in a hurry and they end up throwing interceptions. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they can mess with Allen much. I don't know that that's going to be a big thing for Alabama. Allen, I think, is pretty cool this year. So we'll see. The thing that I'm interested, though, is what is A&M's play calling early in this game? Because A&M can't sit back. They know, too, that their biggest advantage in any football game is their pass rushers at defensive end. And they've got to find a way to get those guys involved early. And so, like I said, they know they need to score early, too. Do they trust Kyle Allen enough to – and by the time they got to Bama last year, it was already obvious they didn't trust Kenny Hill anymore. But do they trust Kyle Allen enough to say, hey, if we're going to win this thing, if we're going to make a run at the SEC West, if we're going to make a run at the playoff, we have to let it fly with Allen. And I'm interested to see if they just bomb him early.
I throw last year's game out. And
right.
So what I've known in two games is A&M will find ways to score. We'll find ways to move the ball against Alabama. But the flip side of it is I also know we look at Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. And even give Lane Kiffin his due. He does have some thoughts when it comes to offense. So the bottom line is we're sitting here, A&M's ends have to get to the quarterback. I guarantee you Kiffin and Saban are making plans what they're going to do for Garrett and Deshaun Hall to take that outside rush away. And those two, you know, when you go back to Saban and John Chavis have had some great confrontations when John Chavis was at LSU. So, once again, is what's not going to be short in this game will be the play calling and the coaches, because they will be spending 23 of the 24 hours getting ready for this game. Both these coaching staffs, whether they'll admit or not, they're looking at this as the SEC championship-type game. And you can't hold anything back. But that also tells me is who blinks first, which I think Aubrey kind of alluded to, when A&M has to come out and get on it. And someone texted about Allen. I don't know. Coker to me a couple times. He's looked, you might say, the same thing. Timid, made the wrong decisions. And I think it might be a wrong decision might win this game as much as a right decision wins this game.
Someone said Coker will be running scared all day. That is the thing. Can A&M's linebackers do just enough against the run game that Alabama has to throw?
See, and I'll also say this. I was impressed with Coker in the Ole Miss game, how he kept getting ripped. Demichi and a couple of those other guys.
Oh, Kim Dichi was killing
him. Ripped him, and he kept getting up and made some plays. So I don't think, and being around Kyle Allen as we are now in the press conference, as Aubrey said, he might start looking, but I don't think Allen and Coker, you have to worry about them coming back. They still might make bad decisions, though, because when you do start getting knocked around, what happens? You make bad decisions.
Someone texted, our one dimension exposes Bama's defensive weaknesses. Yeah, that's the thing. A&M's one dimension is, if they get one-dimensional and it's passing, that's probably fine. I mean, frankly, I think that probably should be what they do anyway, but that's a story for another day.
Well, I'm just waiting to see how A&M's offensive line matches up, because even out of the shotgun formation, you still need a couple seconds if you're just pouring through at guard and tackle, which Alabama can at times, then you're going to have some problems. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Carlos Correa again has just hit a two-run home run to give the Astros a 5-2 lead.
And he's driven in four runs?
Yeah, he has four runs driven in. That's his second home run of the game. I guess now Carlos Correa is also the second youngest Astro to hit a home run in the postseason, because he's also the youngest. But what a game for the kid from Houston. Yeah, I agree. I got sidetracked by the Astros, but
no, okay.
I agree with all that stuff that – the thing for me that this game keeps coming down to is
be at Caulfield.
Well, yeah, you're going to want to be there. But is Kyle Allen? Is he ready to be elite? We know he's a sophomore. We know he's pretty good. Is he elite right now? Is the question, and
now,
I think that's what it comes down to.
Let me say this real quick, Aubrey. I think A&M has to win. Allen has to have a good game where Alabama can. They've won without their quarterback having a good game.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, that's what it comes down to for me. A&M's got some weapons, but this one's about Kyle Allen to me. All right, we're going to go to break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour. Y'all send in some more texts. Keep them coming. 229-1939, and we'll be back. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
When we started Intercon in early 1991, we were well aware that we would be competing with some companies that use unscrupulous techniques to make a quick sale, such as bait and switch, or 40% off if you commit today, or misleading, incomplete quotes. Intercon's practice is to be completely honest and encourage prospective customers to talk to our former customers. We've encouraged customers to get multiple quotes. We are confident and proud of our value proposition for windows, glass, and solar screens. We never want anyone to rush into a decision they will regret in the future. Just remember, warranties are only as good as the people who provide them and are servicing the area when situations arise. This is our home and only marketplace, and we will protect our home turf. You've probably heard the saying, the buck stop here, and that is with me, Brad Beard, president and co-owner of Intercon LLC.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Prosperity Bank, and Subway.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from TexAgs Radio, and if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to TexAgs.com, what are you waiting for? TexAgs.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports, the leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or inside on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like TexAgs. Jump on board now and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's TexAgs.com.
Football's back, and it already feels like the playoffs thanks to One Week Fantasy at DraftKings.com. With millions of dollars in prizes being paid out each week, every play and every game could take you closer to a life-changing payday. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Louie and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy contest. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Enter Louie for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Play the Tap Pick'em Contest. Get your game preview. Ask your recruiting questions. Join Billy and Bryce at the Tap. The Tap for the Bellucci Hour Lunch every Monday and Thursday at noon. And heard right here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
The Wild Wild West. The Wild Wild West. The Wild West. The Wild Wild West.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Crush City.
Crush City.
Rocking Cessna. That was a home run. We went to break with the home run by Carlos Correa. We come out of break with a home run by Colby Rasmus. Unbelievable. It is now 6-2 Houston Astros in the bottom of the seventh.
Okay, does the Astros want to play the Rangers or they want to play the Blue Jays?
You want to play the Blue Jays. The, okay, Rangers, the Rangers have had the Astros number all season. I will say, as someone who works in the sports media, part of me would like it to be the Rangers. Just because Astros-Rangers ALCS would be wild. All right, back to y'all's text. We're talking A&M, Alabama. Someone said, Chief having 2 weeks to scheme, I feel pretty good. This is the type of game he was hired for. That's exactly right, Cease. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into this. A&M's defense, I don't think, is going to shut out Alabama. I mean, they're not going to, I don't even think they'll hold them less than, 15 points or, 20 points necessarily. But they know the system. Like you mentioned, Chief, this is the game you bring him in for. They've got to have a new wrinkle. They've got to have something that they haven't shown so far this season. They can't get by with just sacks on, all the time. Alabama's not going to stand back there and let them do that. But y'all are right. I mean, this is why you bring in a guy like Chavis. So that's a good point. Like I said, it's a good point also. I think if you're A&M, you feel – I'll put it this way. You feel as good as you could possibly feel going into a game of this type, seeing what you've seen so far this season, I think, especially after what happened last year.
Well, I think without a doubt, because A&M's obviously a better situation than they were last year. But also, this is not an unbeatable Alabama team. Ole Miss took them out at their own backyard. Alabama does not have as many five-star playmakers on both sides as they've had in the past. That being said, I always bow down to Vegas. The odds makers make this a field goal game. So the bottom line is I wouldn't want to have my life deciding on either way because I think it's going to be a good game, and I have no idea at this point which is the better team because I don't know about those matchups, the offensive line, the linebackers versus the running games. And we could sit here and text all day and talk back and forth but that's why I'm going to be at the game because I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm anxious to see it.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned there, and like the fan, this is what college football is all about, right? I mean, yeah, we can talk about the money, we can talk about the things you you know, you've got to do in moving conferences and why you rebuild the stadium and all those sort of things.
Yep.
But this is what it's all about. This is why we all love this sport. This is why it's our favorite sport down here. This is why we're all going to get up and go to this one. Is just the atmosphere is why we love games like this one. See, so
this is like yeah. This is like Texas Oklahoma. This is a rivalry game. This is for all the marbles. Yes, Alabama still has work to do. A&M can take care of its own business. But both these teams feel that they should be in the SEC championship. So we'll see who proves it on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I, you know, like I said, I like the fact that we get so caught up in the matchups and the money and all this kind of stuff that I wanted to take a second and just remember that, you know, this is what it's all about. A week like this, this is the game that you call all your friends for. No one can get tickets. Everyone's sleeping on couches across town. It's going to be a wild one this weekend. All right, we're going to go to the big break. When we come back, we will chat with former A&M quarterback Stephen McGee. He'll give his thoughts on a week like this. I want to ask him, what's it like being in class on a week like this? Now, he'll probably say he never went to class.
He did.
We'll find out if he'll admit it or what he'll say when we come back from the big break. But stay with us. Go Astros. We've got a few more innings to get through here, and then we'll talk.